Good morning and thank you for joining us. It is hour number two of Morning Drive Off and Running here on this Friday. ESPN 102.5 The Game, Nick Braden, D. Mason, the Constable. We're broadcasting live from Kitchen Notes inside of the Omni Nashville Hotel. Coming up an hour from now, we'll talk to Teron Davenport, our Titans reporter for ESPN. But yesterday, we had former Eagles president and general manager and CEO Joe Banner on with us talking about the upcoming questions that John Robinson will have to answer and how he goes about, you know, handling the Marcus contract and obviously restructuring this roster for the next upcoming season. And so we wanted to get a front office perspective from somebody on the outside looking in. We had Banner on. Let's play the first one. Here is Joe Banner asked about the difficult decision and how difficult it will be with Marcus Mariota and the long-term future, considering the injury history.
You're not sure what you have, although I've always believed from the draft to now that he is a guy that has played better than people have said, although not up to expectations, and has a lot of potential. But we haven't had him prove that. And he can't stay healthy. And you're on the verge of having to give him a contract that would have a huge impact on the team if he doesn't turn out to be a difference-making quarterback. So you're flying in the dark a little bit here, and you're going to take a risk one way or the other. And all of us have seen teams where they've moved on from a quarterback without knowing who the next guy was. And you can sit there for 3-5 in the case of teams like the Dallas Cowboys, almost 10 years trying to find the next guy. So they have an impossible decision to make here. My suspicion is they'll buy as much time as they can before they have to commit to a deal, which means going through this year and keeping open the possibility they have to tag him or something that, like that, that you really hate having to do with a quarterback, to just gather more information on how good is he going to be and can he stay healthy for an extended period of time.
All right, so we had him on yesterday. We reacted to that quote yesterday. I want to get your thoughts, Braden, because he said that Marcus is better than he gets credit for, hasn't lived up to expectation, but at the end, he says that John Robinson could very well keep buying time, and by that we obviously know fifth-year option this year and the possibility of a tag.
Yeah, I mean, I think the franchise tag, I personally can't remember times where franchise tags led to long-term deals, and I may be totally wrong on that. It just doesn't feel like normally what you're doing with a franchise tag is to just give yourself one extra year or two extra years in the case of the Redskins with Kirk Cousins. And I think that's pretty accurate. Listen, I mean, I think this story hasn't changed. I think the line that he's been better than he gets credit for, I think that's very fair. I don't think the fans in this city give Marcus any credit for doing anything, even though he's taken them from an irrelevant franchise to a winning one. But all the other stuff he said is true, too. The Titans are concerned about his long-term health, as they should be, as the fans should be. His inability to stay healthy or get hurt, kind of constantly dealing with these little dings and nicks, I think that's an issue. Has he been as good as number two overall? No, he hasn't, but he's been pretty good. So I think that's a pretty fair assessment of the situation. Let's spin it forward and listen to what Joe says there about, all right, well, they're trying to buy time. If that's the case, what are the implications of a franchise tag? Well, one, you're going to spend a whole lot of money on that position, right? That's what the tag does. You get to pay what? You have to pay the average of the top five players, the top 10 players.
It's almost like it's twofold. You're paying him like he's an elite guy, but you're non-committal to give him that elite status long term.
Yeah. So, again, the cost involved of tagging somebody twice is an extraordinary amount of money. Now, they've got the space on the cap to do that. That's not that big of a concern. But if we're talking about we're concerned about investing money, well, if you don't know about Marcus, if you're questioning Marcus, I don't know what the answer is then, because if you tag him once, he's going to get $50 million roughly over a 2-year span, 2019 and 2020. That's a whole lot of money. You know what I mean? Like, that's a ton of money. So this is where I would like to see Marcus take the injury/hometown discount to get himself the long-term deal. I think that would make Titans fans and Titans front office feel better about it. I don't know if he's the kind of guy that's going to do that, and nor do I blame a player for never wanting to do that. So this is going to be complicated. And as I think it's important to remember that contracts are negotiated. The reason people don't negotiate their own contracts is because if I was negotiating a contract with you, Derek, and you're about to pay me to do something, right? My agent needs to be in the room, not me. Because all you're going to do is sit there and say all the worst possible things about me, because that's how you get the best deal for your side.
Exactly.
And that's how negotiations go. It's you plan for the best, and or you plan for the worst and hope for the best. And unfortunately, that's just what happens in contract negotiations is one side goes in there and only talks about the best possible things that I've done, and the other side goes in there and only talks about the worst possible things I've ever done. Hopefully you find some middle ground and you meet in the middle.
I think in today's NFL, you can stretch out a sort of a contract. And what I mean by that is you can put guys – you can have a franchise tag for a guy, and you can afford to do it 2 years in a row. In the old NFL, because of the salary cap, you just couldn't do it. It eats up so much of your cap, and it handicaps you. It restricts you from doing things with your team that you need to do. I think the Titans feel, you know, that they're still, you know, one, they got to figure out this whole injury thing with him, this last injury, the whole nerve thing with him. If this was a problem in college and now it has reared his ugly head again, then, yeah, we have a serious problem moving forward. So that's cause for concern. That's like if Marcus, if he was doing a deal and the head coach was up in the air, the GM was up in the air, you know, it would be cause for concern. Why am
You'd
I
be using all that stuff?
Exactly. Why am I re-signing again? Yeah. And I think that's a valid reason why the Titans should be concerned. So if that is indeed the case, then let us buy a little time. We're not concerned about the money aspect because it's only 1 year. And if we do it again, it's only another 1 year. It's not like we're handcuffing our team for the next 5 years. We're only doing it for a year or two. I think the Titans are satisfied with that, giving him $20 million next year and allowing him to make them realize he is the guy that can stay healthy and he is the franchise quarterback moving forward for the next 10 years or so. So I think it'd be a smart move for the Titans. I think it'd be a smart move for Marcus because they're not going to give him top dollar. So if you're not going to give me top dollar, why am I going to sign a long-term
deal?
Bet
on yourself.
Yeah, I'm just going to – I know I can play. It's just I got to stay healthy for, you know, 15 to 16 games or don't get injured when we need you.
What happens if he misses one game? It's week six, and he misses one game.
I don't think that's counted against him yet. I think if you miss one game and it's week 14 to 15 and you're fighting for a playoff berth, then that's where it starts to get magnified. But if you miss, like him missing the Miami game, had he played at the end, nobody would have cared. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just when you miss the games.
Let's think about it this way. The options for Marcus are franchise from an organizational standpoint. You tag him, and this is obviously after the fifth-year option. Tag him, bridge deal, long-term commitment. Now, with those three in mind, let's bring in his peers into the equation. Dak Prescott, Jerry Jones has said he's going to get a long-term deal. Kirk Cousins got a really big commitment, but a short-term.
Under 500 quarterback.
Under 500 quarterback. It was at 3 and I think 84, all fully guaranteed. Case Keenum got a bridge deal. 2 for $36. That's 18 per. Alex Smith,
and Marcus is a far better player than Case Keenum.
Absolutely.
It's not even close.
Not even close. But I think the closest comparison is Alex Smith. I think they are very similar. He got 4 and I believe $90 million. I think it's like $23 million per year. So when you look at those four quarterbacks, and I think we would all agree that Marcus, Cousins, Dak, Smith, kind of in that middle of the road, you could do worse, you could do better. Where does Marcus slot in with those guys based on the deals they got?
Well, and listen, I know I'm going to be – I've already been labeled as like the Marcus apologist here. That's just going to be my role on the show. I'm fine with that because I think he's a really good player. I would give him the contract, but I've said I'm not changing my opinion on that. He's missed 4 games in the last 3 seasons. I just don't think that that's that big of a deal. And the one happened to come at the worst possible time this year. I'm not sure they would have won with him against the Colts anyway, but – I understand people being frustrated with that, but it is what it is. I mean, Carson Wentz has missed every single playoff game in his entire career and doesn't seem to get knocked for that at all. And listen, I would give him – I wouldn't give him $28 million a year for 6 years. I'm not doing that. But and I'm not giving him anything – I'm not making him one of the top 3 or 4 or 5 highest-paid quarterbacks. But if I can get the Derek Carr deal, a 5-year, $125 million deal where he's 25 per – that makes him like the 7th or 8th or 9th highest paid quarterback. Guess whose contracts are coming up? Matt Ryan and a handful of other guys. They're all going to leapfrog him, and yep. He's going to fall right back down to being the 12th or 13th highest paid quarterback.
Yeah, true.
In the next 2 years. So it only looks weird for like a season when he's the fifth highest paid or the seventh highest paid quarterback, and then all the next round of quarterbacks get paid and they get paid more money. I have no concern. Listen, the injury thing, if there is a long-term nerve damage problem, that is my concern. That's a different subject to me than just, oh, he gets banged around a little bit and he misses a game here, he misses a game there. If there is a long-term problem, I mean, isn't this exactly what we were saying about Andrew Luck? Like, we were concerned about his shoulder. We didn't know. Well, he came back, he was fine. We just don't know. I have no issue giving him the long-term deal. It just wouldn't be the top elite. I'm not giving him Rodgers money or Cousins money or Stafford money, and he's better than a couple of those guys, for example. I just am not concerned about it. I think you got to go to bat with the guy you got because he's giving your team a chance to win every year.
5-125 would be the absolute maximum threshold for me. But the only reason I would say I'm not 100% on board with that is I've got to look as to how that affects my ability to pay talent on this roster. If 5-125 cripples me or puts me in a precarious situation cap-wise, that because I think we would agree.
It shouldn't. They've got so much extra money.
But Marcus needs help around him.
Yeah,
Marcus,
no, I agree.
Marcus is not Rodgers Brady. He's going to win with lesser talent. So does that leave me enough wiggle room to upgrade three or four different sets of positions?
And it's not even just upgrading. You've got a bunch of first-round picks, contracts, and Kevin Byard's contract that's going to come up in the very near future. Jack Conklin, you're going to have to pay him. You're going to have to pay Adoree Jackson. You're going to have to pay Corey Davis. You're going to have to pay Kevin Byard all in the next 2 to 3 years during that Marcus contract. So it's not just about upgrading. It's also about paying the guys you have. But the cap goes up every year. And to Derek's point, you know, 10 years ago, a franchise tag cripples you. And it limits your ability to move around and make changes to your roster. It doesn't anymore. We're talking about how many teams have $100 million in cap space. There's a handful of teams that have just, like, don't waste the money, Titans. Go spend the money. I want to see you get better, whether that's acquiring players or paying your guys that you currently have, whatever it may be. Don't let that don't stop just rolling over money after year after year after year. Eventually, you need to spend it to help your team.
Yeah, these aren't cell phone minutes. They don't roll over month to month.
Based on this year's contract, which is 18, there's one team, and there's one team with $100 million, and that's Indianapolis, which isn't good for anybody.
No.
the Jets at 93, but then in 2020. Based upon
after
the contracts that are on the books now, cap space, the Titans have $83 million, which puts them right at the middle of the pack. But then you have roughly like 10 teams with over 100.
Wouldn't you like to play this year?
Yeah, which like over 100. So, you know, and the Colts is one of those teams. So, you know, how does the deal affect the team, like you said, moving forward?
So the Titans are kind of middle of the road for cap space?
I'd love to be a middle of the road cornerback right now in the NFL.
Oh, yeah. You're making like $4-5 million.
Look at all that extra cap space.
They got to pay it. They got to spend it.
People need to spend the money. I'm sorry, Titans, spend the money. Make your team better.
All right, when we come back, the first mock draft of the year is out from ESPN's Mel Kiper. It's never too early to mock. And let's just say he takes a pick at 19 that if this would come to fruition, I think a majority of us would be very dissatisfied.
We're going to mock the mock.
We're going to mock the mock. We're going to rock out with our mock out.
Exactly.
Rock out with our mock out?
Exactly right. Morning Drive.
Wow.
We're back after this. Here on a Friday, it's Morning Drive. We are live this morning from Kitchen Notes inside of the Omni National Hotel, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Coming up bottom of the hour, we will address the constable, Chase McCabe. A couple of citations that very well need to be handed out here on the program. But speaking of citations, you know, I'm a big mock draft guy. And I really love reading them because I know it doesn't really mean much, but it's fun. It leads up to the hype. And I know Buck Rising hates it, so I enjoy talking about him even more. But Mel Kiper put out his mock 1.0. And he has the Tennessee Titans at 19, selecting the tight end from Iowa.
Well, listen. So Todd McShay's first mock draft came out a couple of days ago, and he had Noah Fant going to the Titans, who's an Iowa tight end. Mel Kiper comes out with another mock that has a different Iowa tight end going.
Iowa has two good tight ends.
They're both
of them really
they're
good.
They're both really good. TJ Hockerson is the guy that Mel Kiper's got picked to go to the Titans at 19.
Dude, if he does, if they do that, I will lose my mind.
I'm a faint. Well, but no, I'm going to go up there.
Guys, here's the deal. This is why Buck Rising hates mocks. This is why I don't like mocks. They are meant to be fun. Enjoy them as such. They mean nothing. But clearly Mel Kiper and Todd McShay have not gone deep enough into what this team truly is.
Well, see, I mean, I don't know that
Delanie Walker's coming back healthy, and Jonnu Smith was drafted just 2 years ago and started to show signs of life.
But I don't know
that
that's the case.
They also have three other dudes on the roster that play tight end. That is not their concern right now.
But that's all these guys do year round, and I get it. This is the first one to come out. But that's their whole existence. So I've got to believe that if the random fan right now in the city of Nashville knows the Titans need help on the front seven, Mel Kiper and Todd McShay know that. So if that came, I'll just put it this way. Mm-hmm. If John Robinson, and you know I love skill players, if John Robinson doesn't get a war daddy, I'm going to lose my lid.
What that shows you, this is what it shows you. It's that they haven't really watched this team
in depth.
Yeah. That's what shows you. Mel Kiper hadn't seen this team, because had he seen this team, he would know that, okay, even if Delanie Walker hadn't come back, that Jonnu Smith, they are high on Jonnu Smith. They believe Jonnu Smith can be that next guy. He has the size, he has the speed, athleticism, he can catch the ball. He just needed a little confidence, and he showed that confidence. Once he got that big catch, he started catching everything. So for Mel Kiper to look at it and say, oh, Delanie went down, that's easy. That's the low-hanging fruit. Grab it. Delanie, he didn't say anything about the Titans being the worst, one of the worst teams in the NFL at sacking a quarterback. So how can you be one of the worst teams in the NFL at sacking a quarterback, but then you need a tight end? Come on, Mel Kiper.
Come on, man. Come on, Mel.
Yeah, on, Mel. You ain't even listening to this team.
I'm 100%.
You ain't even watching this
team. I'm 100% with Derek. If you think that the explanation is they need to go out and get another tight end, I would say you haven't watched the team. Because, again, all you did was look at this team, and you didn't see, or the last couple of games, and you didn't see Delanie or Jonnu Smith on the team, right? Two guys that are coming back from injury. And if they are back from injury, there's just no need. Firkser had a really good efficient season.
Exactly.
Way overachieved. In fact, the reason Arthur Smith's even getting mentioned for the offensive coordinator job, which I don't believe he should get, but the reason he's getting is because all the tight ends played so well after the two guys that start got hurt. They actually were okay.
Exactly.
Firkser and Stocker and the other guy. And so if you put a wide receiver in there, we could have a debate about that.
Absolutely.
We could say, you know what? It seems like you're reaching for a position you may not need, but we all know they need to upgrade talent. I don't think this wide receiver room needs another rookie. Mm-hmm. I think that the wide receiver room needs a veteran presence, not a rookie. And they need Derek Mason when you went to Baltimore. That's what they need, is a guy who can be a really good number two, who's been around 8 or 9 years, that knows what it's all about to be a professional and can teach some of the young guys and help them develop. But we can have a debate about wide receiver. We could say, oh, this guy's really good. They sort of have that need, and we could go back and forth and have a reasonable discussion about it. It doesn't make any sense when you have zero pass rush, when you need a defensive lineman, when you need an offensive lineman, when you have so many other positions.
Oh, and then one of your linebackers just retired.
It shows how much these guys are focused on the players and not the teams.
Exactly.
What McShay and Kiper do. They look at the players going into the draft, not the teams.
If you look at the guys that in Mel's mock that they pass on after the 19th pick, I mean, this is enough to make you want to lose your mind. You've got, let me see here, number 25, the Eagles taking Montez Sweat, the edge rusher from Mississippi State. I would take him. Dexter Lawrence of Clemson goes to the Colts. Do you want to see Dexter Lawrence for a decade trying to get pass pressure up the middle against the weakness of the interior line of the Titans, sacking Marcus Mariota? I don't want to see that, do you?
Nah, not really. You pass it on Christian Wilkins.
Christian Wilkins.
It's like, seriously, Mel and
this is why you guys can't take Moxie
seriously.
Yeah,
you can't. And I see why Buck hates him, but I'm not going to hate him because Buck
hates
him.
But there's just
you have to take the right amount.
Yeah.
Like, you read it and you go, oh, I disagree with that. Oh, that's cool. Oh, that'd be fun. And then you move on.
Clemson and Alabama and Auburn and Michigan. There are so many guys in this draft in the top 20 picks that are either get pass rush up the middle like you want, caving the pocket, or coming off the edge. You got to get one of them. You're starting three defensive linemen and nose tackle, defensive tackle, combined for zero sacks this year.
They might be
the only team in the history of the league that played a 3-4 and got zero sacks from their front three.
Here's his explanation. Let me read this. And this tells you, like, he's doing exactly what you just said, Brayden. He's looking at the team toward the end of the season.
I think,
and
yeah.
not. This might not look like a need on paper, but Delanie Walker is 34 and missed most of the season with a severe ankle injury. Hockenson can be a weapon. He is an all-around tight end, an excellent blocker, and a good pass catcher with a big 6'5", 250-pound frame. The Titans will keep a close eye on playmakers for Marcus Mariota. I agree with that part, the end, looking for playmakers for Marcus Mariota. But you didn't mention Jonnu Smith in any of this. You didn't mention him at all. And this guy played well, you know, toward the end of the season before he got hurt. But you just totally disregard what he did. And you didn't even mention him. That shows me you were not looking at this team. Not whatsoever. This is a team that needs pass rush. This is a team that needs a guy up the middle and a guy at the edge. They don't need another tight end, okay? If they're going to draft a tight end, they can get one in the third or fourth round, but not in the first round where they were the worst team in the NFL or one of the worst teams in the NFL at getting to the quarterback. So I can't sack Andrew Luck, but you know what? I'm going to give me a tight end. Mm-hmm. Who the hell thinks that way?
I mean, even look at the Colts. I mean, the tight end they went and got was off the scrap heap, and he turned into one of the best
exactly.
in the NFL. Listen, you can find I think they have enough bodies in the tight end room. I think they've got a good tight ends coach. I think they're fine at that position. It makes no sense. But it also is I think this is the point that we make with – you just take the mock drafts for what they are. And it's like preseason rankings in college football. Enjoy it. Look at it. Read it. Have fun with it. And then move on. Don't let it affect too much of your time or too much of your thinking, and don't get too riled up by it.
615-737-1025 is the number, 615-737-1025. If you want to react to that, also you can follow and tweet us at 1025_MD. When we come back, we will transition a little bit. Staying with football, we're going to get to the championship games. We're just 2 days away from Conference Championship Sunday, both the NFC and the AFC. We'll get into that when we return live from Kitchen Notes here on ESPN, 1025 The Game.
Hey, listen, people, this is what we're going to get into. We're going to get into Cool Springs MD. And to all my men listeners out there, Darren has been telling you this for years. Now I'm jumping in the conversation right now. I'm just going to tell you about my friends at Cool Springs MD. Over the years, more men have started to seek help for hormone deficiencies and imbalances. And Dr. Jeffrey Lodge and his wife Daphne, along with their experienced staff, give men the treatments required to improve their quality of life. Cool Springs MD services have already help many men in the Brentwood, Nashville, and the surrounding areas in Tennessee with improving their immune system, energy levels, and cognitive functions, and more. I need that energy level at times, man. When I wake up in the morning, I am sluggish. So if they can help me, they can help you. They are there to connect you with the medical care you require to have a healthy and enriched life. And there's no better time to achieve a healthy lifestyle than now. 2019, people, what are you waiting for? Give Cool Springs MD a call for an appointment at 615-660-6900. That's 615-660-6900. Or visit their website at coolspringsmd.com.
Welcome back in the Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are live inside of Kitchen Notes, the Omni Nashville Hotel. Nikhail Braden-Gall, Derek Mason,
I love it.
Chase McCabe, a little back-to-back thriller. Oh, by the way, you know his birthday was yesterday.
I did know that, and I felt really bad.
No.
That I had to take care of my sick kid there.
No.
So, happy birthday to you.
Yeah, thank you.
Happy 58th birthday. You look amazing.
You missed Buck calling in and singing.
Yeah, that was just the worst.
Buck called in and sang yesterday?
He did.
Can we pull the audio, Chase?
I wanted to strangle him.
Yeah, hang on.
I wanted to strangle him.
By wishing you happy birthday?
Yeah.
If Buck doesn't call in on my birthday, I'm going to kill him.
I don't believe he'll be doing that.
But I just want to kill him anyway, so like it's just another excuse.
Yeah, just another excuse. Yeah.
To commit homicide.
I don't really need many excuses.
Cool.
Yeah, but
only the coolest kids are committing homicides these days.
Yeah.
So. It's definitely trending that way.
Yeah.
All right, so
social media.
Conference Championship Sunday is upon us. Rams and the Saints in the early game in the Dome. The Chiefs and Patriots from Arrowhead in the late game.
Only can watch one. Which one are you watching?
The AFC.
Yeah, I'm watching AFC, man. I'm biased. Because I'm an AFC guy. I spent my whole career in AFC.
True.
So, you know, it's just I don't know if I want to see the Patriots lose.
Yes.
Or am I rooting more? Am I rooting more for the Patriots to lose or for Andy Reid to finally win with Kansas City? And I want him to win a Super Bowl.
See, I'm one of the rare people who has lost for the team I root for, the Eagles. We've lost to Bill Belichick in the Super Bowl.
Uh-huh.
Yet I still absolutely love Belichick and Brady. Like, I don't hate them like a lot of people do.
I think appreciating their – it's sort of like the Alabama thing. I think appreciating their greatness is important. Uh-huh. I think in the moment, if you're a Chiefs fan, of course you're not going to be – you're not – I mean, you hate the Patriots. I mean, I get it. And I think there is an element of – now, here's the thing about the Patriots, though. If they hadn't been sort of involved in all these little weird scandals – now, I think the Deflategate thing was absolutely stupid. I think that was ridiculous. The NFL wasting thousands of hours of – you know, millions of dollars and thousands of hours of legal time to investigate a guy's deflated
ball.
Football, I think is absolutely ridiculous. But the other stuff I think is legit. You could argue about the PEDs and the doctor and the Spygate, and I think you could argue about a lot of this stuff, and it makes them less likable. But they got the target on their back for a reason, and it's like, if you're not going to appreciate Alabama-Clemson, if you're not going to appreciate LeBron versus the Warriors, if you're not going to appreciate the greatness that is the Patriots, then – I mean, listen, I'm not saying it's easy to do if you're a fan of another team, but there is a moment where you have to step back and just sort of say, man, these guys are doing something that nobody else is doing.
Yeah, they are. And
still root against
them. I mean, the players hate it. And I think it's not – I think there are several factors why people hate, you know, the New England Patriots. And I don't think it has a lot to do with their dominance on the field. I think it has to do with everything outside of what they do on the field, the whole Spygate, the whole Deflategate, the PEDs, one of their players getting popped for PEDs.
There's also an arrogance to them.
And then there's an arrogance. And then at Tom's arrogance. And Tom tries to play this, and I think this was what people starting to pick up on too. Tom tries to play this American, like, I'm just this American boy, and you know, I smile all the time, but he's arrogant. But you have to be, I think, you have to be to an extent at that position. If you're going to be, there's an arrogance too.
Well, see, the thing I love about him is he has not forgotten to this day that he was drafted where he was drafted.
Uh-huh.
Like, what was he drafted? Sixth round or whatever it was? Like,
I don't think he cares about that now.
I still think he feels like a chip on his shoulder, and there's never, and this is the thing I respect the most, there's never been an ounce of complacency. That dude doesn't need to take another snap for the rest of his life to be the GOAT, yet every day that dude is fired up for greatness.
I don't think he thinks about it. Honestly, I don't. I think he uses it when he needs to.
He used it last week?
Yeah.
Because the whole world loved the Chargers.
He used it last week, but he used it from a team aspect. They don't think we're good anymore. I think the whole, you know, I was drafting the sixth round thing, it's a good story now. But I don't think he cares. I think if he's talking to a bunch of kids, he can say, hey, listen, I was a sixth-round draft pick. Look where I'm at now. You can do it. You know, follow your dreams, yada, yada, yada. But I don't think he uses it now like to be a motivation. I think his motivation is purely just to win championships.
Well, when you were drafted, you felt like you were slighted. You wanted to prove people wrong. And you certainly accomplished a whole bunch. Mm-hmm. Was there a point where you got out of the mode of chip on the shoulder, you had already proven it, or did that fire still burn?
It burned, but it didn't come from a place of, you know, I was a fourth round draft pick. It came from a place of, I know they're trying to replace me. And so I'm going to continue to work hard. I'm going to make it, my whole thing was, I'm going to make it hard for you each year. If you want to release me, if you want to go get somebody better than me, well, I'm going to make it hard for you. I'm going to make it very difficult for you not to, I'm going to make it very difficult for you to cut me. I'm not going to make it easy for you to replace me. I'm going to make it very difficult for you to replace me. And that was my sole motivation. And Tom's motivation is probably just that too, because at one point Garoppolo was going to be the guy. And I think had Garoppolo been there now, he would have been a starting quarterback by now.
Whoa,
I think so.
Whoa, whoa.
I really do believe.
See, I would agree with you if Tom showed signs of decline.
Last year,
but he hasn't shown any – like, he's throwing – BBs on out routes all game last week.
But it's ebb and flow. He gets like the gruel of the season wears on him, and it did during the season on that look. You know, when people thought that they were just done, and then toward the end of the season, he got rejuvenated. I believe had Garoppolo still been there, there would have been a hard push for him to be the guy. That's why they made sure he was gone.
You think Bill Belichick was going to bench Tom Brady? I know Belichick's cutthroat.
Belichick doesn't care who you are. He really doesn't.
He's not going to bench Tom Brady.
He will if anything happens, he has no problem. Why do you think they got rid of Garoppolo? Because sooner or later, it was going to be sooner, Garoppolo was going to be the guy. And he was going to put, and as much as people would have hated it, he was going to slide Garoppolo in, and they would have continued to win 14 games, 13 games, 12 games. It's not going to stop. Believe me, listen, it's not going to stop with New England winning 12, 13 games, 11 games, 10 games.
So by that
just
logic,
because
then,
Brady leaves.
You think this is more of a Belichick run of success than Brady?
They go hand in hand.
They do.
But I think
push comes to shove. I'm taking Brady before I'm taking Belichick.
If push came to shove, I'm taking Belichick because really? I've seen Belichick work with quarterbacks and they still go out there and it doesn't. With Belichick, y'all got to doesn't matter.
You could see replacing the greatest quarterback of all time
with a good
Garoppolo,
quarterback.
And the productivity doesn't fall off?
It's not going to fall off because they have a system in place. They have a system in place. And that system is I'm not going to say we can plug in any quarterback, but we can plug in a good quarterback, and this system will still operate.
The only evidence of that is the only time Brady was hurt, Matt Castle won
11 and 5. Even when Garoppolo had to come in, they went 5-1 or 4-1 somewhere around there, and then the other guy had to play, and they won a game. Tom is a big part of it.
They don't win Super Bowls with Brissett. Tom win games.
Yeah, but Belichick is going to continue as long as he coach. That's just like Saban. As long as he's coaching, his team will win 10, 11 games. As long as Belichick is coaching, his team will win 11, 12 games.
I'm with you. I'm with you on the Belichick angle on this. I just don't believe that they would bench a productive Tom Brady. Like, if they're still winning 11 games like they did this year, or 10 games, whatever it was, and Brady is still chucking it all over the place successfully, the reason Peyton Manning needed to go when he did was because he wasn't productive anymore. His arm had fallen off, and he just wasn't making any throws. He couldn't do it, so they had to pull him from the game. I think that's not pulling from the game, but like they had to move on from Peyton Manning.
Exactly.
That's why he retired. Now winning a Super Bowl helped that facilitate that. But they won despite of him because of that great defense. I think Brady, as long as he's productive, that's what I'm watching when I watch Tom Brady now, is signs of deterioration. And you just don't see it. I mean, he's still standing back there, the same bad mobility he had when he was 23 years old, and the same strong arm, the same reads, the same progressions. I mean, he still makes the same throws. And as long as the arm talent is still there for him, there's no way he's getting taken out of
the line. He throws when it's not necessarily the arm strength. He throws with anticipation. So he's throwing it before you even get to the top of where you have to be. He can no longer rely on his strong arm because he doesn't have it. What he does, what Peyton Manning did toward the end, was throw with anticipation. That's what Drew Brees is so good at, too. Throwing with anticipation. Which means I don't have to have a strong arm. I just got to get it to you right when I need to get it to you before you even get out of that break.
I agree,
you got to run to the ball.
I agree. His anticipation is what makes him great. But there, he's still making throws, man. Like he watched the Chargers game. There's some plays. Now it was about Michelle in the running game, and defense played great, and he needs some of that, obviously. But I have not seen him play a full game where he just can't make throws. And if that starts to happen, then I'm on board. Time to move on because I'm with you. Belichick will cut you or move on the second you don't help him win. So and he'll do it to Brady. I don't deny that. The only reason Brady's still in the lineup is because he still gives Belichick what Belichick wants, which
is. And then they got rid of Garoppolo, those jokers. They planned that perfectly, Tom Brady and Kraft.
Robert Kraft.
Yeah.
They would have had to pay him a lot of money, though.
Oh, yeah.
I actually saw a headline yesterday. I forget which ridiculous hot take show it was on, but it was something to the effect of the Patriots have played up a fake underdog role.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Oh, of course.
Are you serious?
No, that's what
they have.
That's absolutely what they've done. Oh, yeah.
You didn't think Tom Brady did that last week?
Oh, that's because Belichick has done that.
They think we're sad. They think we're sorry.
Yeah. They've played up the whole thing, yeah.
I've also heard this theory that because they only went 11-5 this year, that the Patriots kind of took their foot off the gas in the regular season, and the analogy was
that one I don't believe.
The analogy was a golfer hitting 3 wood off the tee and then all of a sudden saying, you know what, okay, I'm done playing conservatively and kind of pacing myself. I'm pulling out the big stick.
Nah.
Right, and if that was the case, if that analogy was accurate, that means that every time you swing the three wood, you're saving energy in your tank for the driver. Like, I don't think that's – like, that's the difference in football, is that when you take your foot off the gas, the idea is to sort of save your body for December and January. I could maybe understand that, but, like – being taking shots down the field is the same thing as using a driver. Like, it's about being aggressive play calling wise. So I don't even think the analogy is very good, to be honest with you. So I'm assuming it was on one of those shows. Yeah. I do totally agree though that Belichick fabricated and drilled into his team that you're the underdog,
exactly.
That nobody likes you, that you, everybody thinks. I mean, Tom Brady comes out after the game and says, "Oh yeah, everybody thinks we suck." And Tracy Wolfson literally laughs at him. Tracy Wolfson's doing the interview.
Oh, seriously?
And if you listen to the audio, he's like, "Oh yeah, everybody thinks we suck and it's over for us." And she's like, she's like laughing at Tom Brady because he can't take that crap seriously.
All right, when we come back, lettuce has been lost and the constable has been cleaned up. Details on the other side. It's Morning Drive on ESPN 102.5 The Game. All right, welcome back in the Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We've got Jerron Davenport, Titans reporter for ESPN, coming up at the top of the hour. See if we can squeeze out a little information on this OC search that nobody seems to have much on. So Jerron's coming up in about 12 minutes. But as we wrap up the first half of the show, we do have the Buck Rising Happy Birthday audio.
Oh, my goodness.
To Derek Mason. We will play
Seriously?
That before we get out here of this segment. But we got to address the constable. First of all, let's start with yesterday. We'll go chronologically. Chase McCabe sends us in our group text message a little update that he has trimmed the lettuce. Now, he's not with us this morning. He's back at the studio.
He's still alive.
He's still alive, yeah. He's still with us on this planet.
Barely.
He's not with us anymore.
At least for a couple of years. But, yeah, by the way, he had about 80 ounces of caffeine yesterday at Bridgestone. Three different cups going, so he might not be with us much longer.
Good God, Chaser?
Yeah. But he sent
us
a picture.
Well, one got brought to me, so, you know.
Yeah, you did. You had your deputy drop it off. But you trimmed up the lettuce yesterday, and you sent us a picture of it this morning in the group text, and I think we should address this a little bit.
Well, I didn't trim it much. I mean,
you
just
need to
barely.
Post that picture online.
I don't want to.
Why do you not want to post the picture that you sent
to us? Because it's a bad picture of me because I'm half asleep.
Is it because you look really creepy?
Yeah, because I'm half asleep.
Can we please post this?
No.
I mean, we have access to the photo, so we could post it.
No, we could. We could certainly do that. But I'm wondering, so you did a little trimming of the lettuce. Now, are you going to leave it untouched until the postseason is over for the Preds? Because I think you should go full out facial hair and hair on top of your head. Just let everything blossom until the Preds either win the cup or are eliminated.
I love that idea, but here's the problem. I am in the media, so... If I'm, you know, going around to other cities during the playoffs and, you know, I'm looking like, you know, Bigfoot, I don't know how that's going to go.
Well, they would have to beat the Jets, though, for that to happen.
Exactly.
Well, I'd still have to go to Winnipeg.
You're not going to look homeless in two series.
Yeah, let's not make it like out you're to be.
Yeah, but if I start now.
Good. Have you seen most media members?
No. I think what we should let the hair grow now, but I think you should start the beard at the start of the playoffs. Let the hair grow at the start of the playoffs. So when the playoffs start, you don't get a trim anywhere, hair or face, and you just let it go. And if the Preds make it to the Stanley Cup final, guess what? You'll look like Bigfoot, and that'll be a small price to pay for making it to the Stanley Cup final.
Because, see, you know, here's the problem. As soon as the team gets wind of this, they're not going to let me cut my hair.
Good.
Exactly. Listen, the only reason I know that I can grow a beard is because of Sean Henry. Like, that's it. Sean Henry was like, hey, you know, during the first year on the air, Braden Fitz, of course, he goes, listen, you guys got to grow your beards. And so I said, challenge accepted. I had never tried growing a beard before because I always thought it looked pretty scraggly and mangy and sort of ridiculous. And then I figured out that as long as I make it to the third round of the playoffs, I can grow a beard. It just takes me three rounds. And the Preds had never gone three rounds before, so I didn't know that I could grow that much facial hair. And so now I have a beard permanently.
The whole process yesterday,
much to my wife's chagrin,
was I needed to trim my beard, which I can do myself. But I also I just needed a touch up. You know, I needed an edge up around my neck and everything. And so I went and saw the lady that I always go to, and she said, "Let me clean it up just a little bit. I'm not going to cut much off, but let me just clean it up." And so that's what she did.
Okay,
and it looks
good.
Do
you guys get the? Have you ever been to an actual? Because there's two different. I didn't realize this, but there's two different to get an actual straight edge shave, like with like hot, you know, like lotion and an actual straight, like a razor, they have to have a different certificate or whatever, like a different certification.
You have to be able to,
you have to be certified to do it. Not just a barber can't do that or whatever. I don't know which one it is, but so have you guys ever gone to the place where you actually get the actual straight edge? And
I have. My barber,
it's so good, dude.
My barber is certified to do it, so he does straight edge.
So
he does everything. Tony.
We have somebody that has weighed in.
Shout out to Tony.
Shout out to Tony.
I have received a text message from one Hal Gill. I cannot read this text message on the air, but to summarize, he said I should grow the hair.
Oh. See, there you go. Okay. Wait, why can't you read it?
It has some words.
Because there's some language.
It's Hal.
He called me a name.
And he just sent you this text, like this segment?
Yes. Hi, Hal.
I think you should grow the hair.
I like the picture you post, Constable.
Yeah, and let's address that.
I would change that to my profile picture.
Yeah, I like that picture.
In fact, the man that took that picture is sitting next to you guys, Kevin.
Okay.
He took that at Smashville
Live. Good job, Kevin.
You posted this at 5:51 this morning, and it's a picture of you with your hand on your chin, kind of contemplating your existence, and you tag it saying, just the constable and his thoughts, and it's also touched up in a black and white little classy look.
I think if you make anything, so my Twitter photo has been black and white. It's the same picture I've ever had on Twitter, basically since, I don't know, 5 years ago. I think if you make anything black and white, it makes it look classier. You change anything to black and white, you're like, oh, that looks really, that's so much
more. Well, that's how Kevin gave me the picture, so and he did a good job with it.
Okay.
It's kind of like the thinking statue.
Yeah.
You know, the
it's
guy
the thinking
that's
man.
Yeah, the thinking man is just in there. That's kind of like Chase.
Mm-hmm. We could do a constable caption contest if we wanted to.
That's a lot of alliteration there.
It is.
What do you think? What do we think's on Constable's minds there? When he put thoughts, what do we think he was referring to? Like the fact that Drew Brees and Tom Brady will have a combined 81 years in the Super Bowl, and that Braden will have picked the Super Bowl completely correct in August? Or do you think that he's thinking,
man,
what do we do to stop the Jets' forecheck? Like, what do you think he's thinking there?
He's thinking like, man,
no way the Titans should take a tight end in the first round.
Deep thought. He's like, man.
What does Ricky want to drink tonight?
Should I get iced coffee or should I get hot coffee or a soda? That's what he's thinking.
He's sitting there going, should I go shrimp scampi on my butter noodles?
He said all three.
Should I add some garlic to my buttered noodles?
All right, so to wrap up the first half of the show, yesterday, Braden, you missed this. It was a surprise appearance. We had a mysterious caller on line two yesterday during the Derek Mason birthday celebration, and it was our very own.
Kind of sad I missed that, by the way.
It was actually, I got to tell you, I think Buck actually has a better career choice.
No, he doesn't. Don't even say it.
As a singer as opposed to a Titans insider.
No, he doesn't. Well, he's not much. But yeah, you're right. You might be right.
Okay. So here you go. Here's Buck Rising serenading Derek Mason on his 45th birthday.
Let's not say it like that.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear idiot. Happy birthday to you.
There was some Marilyn Monroe, like, Mr. President. I thought he was, like, trying to. Yeah,
he can carry it, too. I'll give him that.
Yeah.
I think he did pretty good.
Don't
on
say
it.
Positive things about
no, he didn't
Buck
do
Rising.
Pretty good. Yeah,
scale of 1 to 10, at least a 7.
A 0.
3.5.
No,
I'm go
a
seven,
negative 3.
I'm going to go 7.
A 7. Negative 7.
Constable, what do you grade it as?
I'll give it a 7.
Okay. There's a difference of opinion here. You and I are in the 7s.
Y'all
Mason
being
and,
too nice.
Mason and Gall.
Did he give y'all
give
some money
credit
or something?
No.
He has some pictures on y'all?
I'd love to rip Buck.
I
think he has pictures on y'all.
I tweet all my pictures.
Not you, but
I thought it was a 3.5.
Yeah, you. I'm saying
because a real man would have shown up and done it in person.
Exactly. I'm saying the constable and Nick. He has pictures on y'all.
Well, he'd have to be following me on Twitter to have pictures. But he refuses to do
so. He's ghost following you.
He does. He ghosts me a lot.
Yeah. No. He's following you, but not under the name Buck Rising.
Oh, the burner account.
Yeah, the burner.
Buck's
account.
Burner.
Yeah.
All right, when we come back, Hour 3 will get underway with some Titans conversation. Teron Davenport, Titans reporter for ESPN, and we've got Crispy coming up at the bottom of the hour. Stay there. It's Morning Drive.